The nation's attention is now focused on the border with Mexico as images of immigrants filling detention centers cross the television screen. In our second segment, we take a look at two immigrants from Guatemala who made it to the U.S.-Mexican border as they handed themselves in to the immigration authorities. Alex, who wished to be identified only by his first name, is in his early 20s. He made the last push towards the border with his cousin, making his way through the mountains to arrive in December of last year.
When we were crossing the mountain in the highland, that is, when the cold was worst, it was so cold for me and the children, it was so cold. Did they cry? No, but they felt the cold. We continued walking for 4 hours, and then the immigration official picked us up and took us to their offices. Then they said to us, "Welcome to the USA," and they said, "Merry Christmas," because we had arrived on Christmas Eve, December 24th.
Fortunately for Alex, he was not separated from his cousin. Concia, who wished only to be identified by the pseudonym, said she crossed the mountains near the border town of Juarez, Mexico, with her 10-year-old son in April of this year.
Well, when we crossed the river, the immigration officials were there. They received us without any insult. They did not insult me. They received us as it was supposed to be. Now, once in jail, that was different. They treated us badly. But I can understand that because there were a lot of people.
She was kept in detention with her son for around 7 days, but would not say more about the conditions. Concia says the immigration authorities told the parents that their children should not play with one another.
Because the immigration officials did not allow it. Because the officials said if one plays and the others do not, then there is a problem. So they do not play. It is because no one is allowed to play, and they are not allowed to have a toy.
Matthew Peters with the Multicultural Resource Center says immigrants are known to have been kept for long periods of time and in conditions that are often harsh.
It's very cold, very sterile type of environment with the fluorescent lights on. They usually mention how they can't tell if it's day or night, no windows. The air conditioning is probably being pumped very high, and they didn't pack for 50-degree weather, so it can get quite uncomfortable. They mention how it's difficult to sleep, partly because they don't know if it's night or day.
Once in custody, Alex says,
it was like a room. It was a room, but it was like a cell with walls, but we sometimes stick to the floor. We slept on the floor. They gave us something like sheets, like a piece of transparent nylon. We spent a whole night on the floor. The floor was so cold, we were not able to sleep. There were some beds, but there were so many of us that they were occupied.
Alex adds, for many of the children, it was the uncertainty and the waiting that took its toll.
It is not easy to be there because, well, one loses hope. One gets bored. There were other children that lost their faith to remain in the U.S. They get tired of waiting. They regret being there. Therefore, it is very difficult to see a young person who says, "Why did I ever come here? Why was I ever born? Why am I in this world? I only suffer."
Peters with the center says that once he sees the children, they are often traumatized.
They just seem very just shell-shocked. They cry sometimes. They just really can't settle down. The parents are having a tough time just really communicating with them, explaining what's going on with this whole entire process.
Alex said that his group stayed in the cold room for around 5 days before being taken to the airport in a hotel with around a dozen others. They were finally able to bathe, and then they shared their stories with the Hondurans as they waited for the next step. Eventually, they were taken to a shelter for a month in Miami, where they were given clothes and some shoes. Meanwhile, Concia says that her group was sent to a shelter, and eventually she was given over to a Catholic organization, although she doesn't recall the name. Both immigrants consider themselves lucky to have made it to this country with a minimum hardship compared to others. In our final segment, we'll take a look at the aftermath of their experience and the impact on the community. We had repertorial and translation assistance from Charito Calvachi-Mateco for the story. This is Don Rush for Delmarva Public Radio.